Thank you for your presentation. I'm a little bit sad in my soul somehow, because I have heard the whole time from suffering, sadness somehow. Where is the spiritual rejoice, happiness, following Christ? I'm suffering, perhaps following him, but it's a happiness to follow him. It's a rejoice to be with him. Our church is not only the church of suffering, of the cross, but it's the church of resurrection. And we die one time during the baptism to resurrect with him. And that's why I missed in your presentation today only one word about the apostle in rejoice. He came out with rejoice. But the whole time I had the feeling that we have to suffer. We don't glorify the suffering in our church, but if it would come, we will accept it with happiness, with rejoice, with the attention that we share with Jesus here, his pen and his cross. That's why I need something explain, please.
I think I forgot your name. Father Alexis is right. I said a little that we are not only disciples of the cross, but we are also disciples of blessedness. And that says a lot. Maybe because of my state of needing that more, I dwelt a bit more on that side of the matter. But in our present state, psychologically, is more appropriate to emphasize that. The other comes naturally. I spoke about the consolation that follows, and that is the only thing that can enable us to quench the dark fire of the passions. Yes, for example, we go through Lent with great eagerness, because during the Lent we struggle to find our deep heart and speak to God from our deep heart. And we do that for 50 days, and we come to Easter, and it's an explosion of joy. It's the triumph and the victory, Christ's victory. And we cannot retain it. From the first day we lose it. We cannot retain it. It somehow is more appropriate for us to fast and struggle for 50 days than to abide in that great joy that we experienced the night of Easter, because it's more necessary for us that period. But the period after Easter is also very important. It has not fasting, there is no fasting in it, but the purpose of that period is to stir up in us all that period with the meaning of the feasts of Mid Pentecost and everything, to stir up in us the desire of the gift of Pentecost. Yes. So I don't know what to say. Maybe I should also emphasize that, but I know that the other, what you spoke about, it comes naturally if we follow that. Forgive me. Maybe I'm not complete in my exposition, but I believe that if we go through Lent only thinking how to come a bit closer to the Lord, then our coming near to him at Easter, it will be natural. Because our Easter is to approach him, really. That is Easter. It's to approach him. This is one way of approaching him, by bearing for his sake.
Father, you've talked about doing things that attract the grace of God and then voluntary suffering. And I'm just curious about the use of prostrations in terms of in our personal life as priests, and perhaps introducing that in the life of our parishioners, you know, as a small way of voluntary suffering.
Yes, of course, the prostrations help a lot, because it's the image of that way we spoke about, of going down before the Lord, to go down and to decrease that he increases in us. St. John the Baptist is the greatest of all that were born of a woman, says the Lord. Why he's the greatest? Because he made himself the smallest. Because though he was so glorified by the whole of people of Israel at that moment, he put all that glory at the feet of Christ. And he said, he's the one. I'm not worthy. He must increase. I must decrease. That is to say, he put himself under his feet. He made himself nothing before the Lord. Though he was greater of all, he made himself smaller of all in Israel. That's why he received the praise from the Lord. He became the greatest of all those that were born of a woman. And prepositions are very beneficial also in another sense, that we learn to pray also with our body. Because how many times we really pray spiritually? Not often we can pray spiritually, you know, brought by the power of grace, and just our mind becomes like a king, you know, in its presentation before God. Not many times, very rare. Most of the time it's labor. We make prostrations, we scream to God, we cry, we say orally prayers. And until the heart is strengthened by grace, and then we can pray spiritually. That is one way of learning to pray bodily as well, because we are one unity, spirit and body. That's why death is unacceptable for us, because death divides man. God has created one unity, body and soul. Man is body and soul, and death comes to separate that. Therefore, it's unacceptable. Death is not acceptable. And you see, we have to rise from the dead to present ourselves before God and receive our just retribution for the things we have done, both with the soul and the body. So maybe the enemy can take our mind completely. Sometimes we are tired or suffering from something and we have no mind to pray. And we start, Lord, you see, the enemy has taken my mind away, but accept this, my poor prayer, with my body. And we make prostrations, and then the strength comes. I said it once at Wichita, this example. I knew a priest who was very, very, very tired. He found it difficult to pray every Sunday evening. Sunday evening, it was his worst time. He was exhausted all the day with people. The great liturgy as it is in our church in the morning, then the sermon and talk with the people and all the day confessions and contacts with the people, he would come to his room exhausted. And one night he came to his room and he was telling me, and he came to his room and he started saying, Lord, I'm sorry, tonight I cannot pray. Lord, forgive me, tonight I cannot pray. He was moving up and down in his room saying, I don't remember how much he said, half an hour. He was saying, Lord, I cannot pray tonight, forgive me. And suddenly, God opened up his heart. New energy was released in his heart. And he started the prayer that lasted for very long. And God gave him a way to repent. And that pain and tiredness were overshadowed by the strength. And he was praying with the words of God, with the words of the scriptures, for a long time. Sometimes we think that we are exhausted, that we have no energy at all, and we are dead, and we say, Lord, sorry, I can't. But if we manage to find one humble thought to touch the heart, then new energies are released, and then we find strength to do many more things. The idea is how to disclose that energy through finding a humble thought. And sometimes that's why the words of the scriptures help us. They're very handy. If we always read the scriptures, from time to time, a word from the scripture is quickened in the prayer. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to pray with the same words that the Holy Spirit gave. Forgive me.
Father Zacharias, thank you so much. Could you elaborate a little bit on the, where you said the greater the fire of consolation is what's needed at that one point? I didn't follow clearly what you were saying.
Yes. Well, the passions always a substitute for true joy. We need joy in our life. And God came that we may have joy and have it full, he says in the Gospel of St. John. We need the joy. We have been created for that. But the spiritual joy is not the psychological joy of this world. The spiritual joy is to have a free heart in which reigns the peace of Christ. The true spiritual joy is when we know that we are free from the influence of the enemy, free from the influence of bad thoughts, of temptations. And you see, suffering is necessary until the heart is purified, until the heart, not to say big words, because who has a pure heart, but until the heart is bitten, I said, that is to say, is wounded, until the heart is wounded, begins to participate in our converse with God. And when we stand and speak to God from the heart, then we find consolation. And our consolation is to be free, to have a free heart.
That's the fiery
kind. Yes, a free and, burning heart, like Luke and Cleopas had in their way to Emmaus, a peaceful and burning heart in which only resounds the word of Christ.
Father Secretary, this topic of joy is, I think, and in my own personal struggle, I have had to spend as much time learning about repentance as to learn how to be happy. I've learned all of the distractions that I think bring me happiness, but it's not true joy. And there are so few examples of that in our world right now. How do you teach people about something that is so rare? In my parish, I try to preach about confession, about about these teachings to reach this joy. But I'm no icon of happiness. I can demonstrate grumpiness and discontentedness and judgmentalism and a big mouth, but the real spiritual virtues I don't have. But I, at the same time, I don't want to be an impediment to my people.
No.
What do I do?
Your intuition is right, Father. How many times we were full of the joy of the consolation of God, and by being not careful and being overjoyed, we lost it. That's why St. John of the Ladder says, approach God as much as you can without boredness, and you receive even more joy. That is to say, the more humbly and the more, careful we are and sober in our approach to God, the more we rejoice, the more rejoicing we find. We must be careful, because if we are overjoyed and we live it psychologically, then we have to be continent even in joy, otherwise we lose it. If we have great joy and we start bubbling and teaching others or speaking and airing our graces, then we'll lose it surely. We'll feel devastated afterwards. The true spiritual joy is hidden in the heart, and the more we hid it, the more it's preserved. It's enough that we do everything peacefully and soberly for our present state. Because we have enemies that will explore everything to try and defeat us, Actually, when we read the letter of St. John, for every spiritual virtue, there is a danger of degenerating into some vice if we are not careful.
Well, Zachary, we live in a culture that wants the reward and not the sacrifice. And would you comment on seeking the joy, but not being willing? I mean, people want the joy, they want the result, but they have a very difficult time accepting the cross. And so you're dealing with people who a lot of times aren't ready to accept the cross, and yet they need to learn to accept the cross before they will be able to grow in the joy.
Yes, correct. We sing through the cross joy came to all the world. It's through the cross that joy came to all the world. We sing, having seen the resurrection of Christ, we worship the Lord Jesus, we say that. And through the cross has joy come into the world.
Thank you, Father Zacharias.